topic of conversation. First matter on the agenda is House Bill 116, relating to immunity treatment for intoxicated persons and crimes fostered drugs. Sam McLean. McLean's joined us here at the table. Hi, Mr. McLean, do you wish to address the committee on this legislation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I have introduced House Bill 116 on behalf of the Alaska Municipal League. And this legislation would prevent legal actions based on the failure to take into protective custody a person who is intoxicated or otherwise incapacitated. This legislation is the result of the Alaska Supreme Court's ruling in Busby versus Municipality of Anchorage. The case involved Mr. Busby, who was intoxicated and walking in an Anchorage street. An officer stopped him and after conversation determined that while he had been drinking, he was not incapacitated. Mr. Busby was later returned to the street and was hit by a car. Mr. Busby sued the municipality of Anchorage on the grounds that the officer had a duty to take him into protective custody. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Mr. Busby. Police have hundreds of contacts daily with people in varying stages of intoxication. This ruling has taken away their ability to use discretion in placing intoxicated persons in protective custody. I am concerned that this court ruling is hampering our police from performing their duties and is placing a great financial burden on our communities through an increase to their liability insurance and in the overcrowding of the jails and other related facilities. The overcrowding of jails and other facilities not only places an additional financial burden on our communities, but strains our resources as well. Villages are particularly hard hit by this. It is not uncommon for a village to have only one small jail cell. Traditionally, when our village public safety offices find inebriates, they escort them to their homes and let their families take care of them. I believe it is important that our police and village public safety officers retain the ability to use their discretion in handling these cases. While I support the concept of total immunity, I understand that there is a desire among some members to attach a standard by which an officer could be held liable in failure to perform their duty. Personally, I feel that our police and VPSOs do their best job they can and would not willingly fail to perform this duty. However, if a standard is to be adopted, I would favor that which was adopted by the Senate Judiciary Committee of Intentional Misconduct. Thank you for this opportunity. And I'm sorry I'm not going to be here to answer the questions. I have another commitment. Scott Burgess from AML will be here, and so will one of my staff members.
Thank you, Representative McLean.
Right, do we have a list of people signed up to testify?
Representative Donnelly is at the end of the table.
Thanks. Mr. Gross, do you want to testify?
Thank you. Here representing the Alaska Academy of Trial Lawyers, who always seems to be pressed into the breach on bills like this.
Would you rather go last?
No, I'll go right now, because I think maybe I can clarify something about what Representative McLean has just said. She is correct that Senate Bill 66 is a response to the case of Busby versus Municipality of Anchorage, but she is, I'm afraid, incorrect as to what the court decided in Busby, and it makes a real difference in this bill, so let me try and clarify it. Busby interpreted certain provisions of AS 4737-170. Now, subsection B of that act requires that a peace officer take into custody, and now I'm going to quote, a person who appears to be incapacitated by alcohol in a public place. Now, I'm now talking about the existing law. Right? Because it's obviously difficult for a police officer to determine whether somebody is in fact incapacitated by alcohol. I mean, that's a subjective standard which anybody could disagree on. The law errs on the side of the officer taking the person into custody. It says, later on, that anyone who makes the decision that somebody is incapacitated and takes them into custody are immune from claims of false imprisonment, which would be the major one that would occur, or any other civil suit resulting from the person being taken into custody. Now, in Busby, the issue was the liability of a police officer who didn't take somebody into custody, not who did, and who did not comply with the law. But the court did not rule, as Representative McClain suggested, that the person was not incapacitated. The case came up to the Supreme Court on a motion for summary judgment. That means that the facts are not an issue. The only thing that is an issue is the interpretation of the law. And what the Supreme Court decided was the following, that if a person appeared to be intoxicated in a public place, if the peace officer was aware of the situation, and if the police officer did not take the person into custody as required by law, and if the person was thereafter injured as a result of his incapacitated state, then the municipality could be held liable for the officer's negligent failure to do his duty. The court did not rule that the person was incapacitated, that the police officer in Busby was aware of the situation, that the police officer should have taken Busby into custody. The court did not rule on any of those issues. The court simply said, if all those things are true, then a jury may find the municipality liable. The court then sent the case back for a trial on whether, in fact, all these things were true, right? So there's no ruling in Busby about, you know, what the standards of intoxication are, or that the person had been intoxicated or one thing or another. All the court said is if all these facts were true, then the police officer could be held liable and so could the municipality. That is, in fact, the same standard of law that is used for all acts of peace officers. You know, if peace officers act negligently in enforcing the law and people are injured as a result of that, the municipality are held liable. There's nothing that distinguishes this from anything else. So I suppose what I'm here for is mainly, I think, because the people I represent are more concerned, I think, from the precedential value of this type of approach. As a matter of fact, drunks who are struck by cars are not exactly the subject of large damage suits. As a practical matter, you may be interested in knowing, for instance, that Mr. Busby, I understand, has been unable to find an attorney to even represent himself in a subsequent proceeding. And the one case, the trial that the Supreme Court sent it back for, and the one case where I understand where there was someone who was run down by a car in Anchorage, and I think seriously injured, resulted in a verdict of like $10,000. For the simple reason that we have a doctrine of comparative negligence in Alaska, and if somebody gets drunk and stumbles around the highways, juries aren't very receptive to giving them very large verdicts. But that doesn't change the fact that when a police officer knows the facts and negligently performs his duty, the police officer and the municipality are liable. And I personally see no reason to make an exception of any kind in this case as opposed to any other case. So I'm here to raise that objection to the bill.
Representative Groob.
Let me just make sure. It's been a long time since I've read Mr. Rose. As I recall, the trial court in Busby dismissed the case.
That's correct.
And the Supreme Court then reversed and said you shouldn't have flat out dismissed it.
If all the facts alleged were true, there would be a cause of action. That's what the Supreme Court
said. That's all they said.
That's all they said.
Further questions? Representative Lehman.
What did the lower court do then when they sent it back?
They have not had a trial. As I say, it's not the kind. This is not a serious problem for municipalities. It's not like there have been massive verdicts against municipalities for this act. I mean, municipalities are nervous about it, and I can understand that, but they should be no more nervous about it than they should be from any negligent acts of their own police officers.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the concern that I have is that a police officer doesn't have like a whole lot of time sometimes to make a decision. I mean, I can see a police officer stopping somebody and somebody can have a very high blood alcohol and not demonstrate it in any way and the officer has no way. And I guess the situation I would see is if an officer stops somebody who's lurching down the street and in the meantime, know, there's a more serious thing going on that he thinks this person's going to be okay and walks on to take care of the other. It seems to me that in that sense, the officer's ability to function is compromised. If you don't give him some kind of an immunity. The other question I have is I see that we have another bill that was referred to judiciary. It's a bill that it's, I believe it's House Bill 116. It's a House Bill 159, which has been referred to judiciary. And in House Bill 159, and maybe you're going to testify against that one too.
I don't know.
But in House Bill 159, it's a bill that has been submitted by the governor at the request of the governor, and it's a bill that would allow immunity from liability for negligence and release or supervision of persons in state custody who are on parole, probation, furlough, work release, or similar condition. And I guess the thought that I have is, you know, on the one hand, we're looking at considering giving people some immunity who, as I understand, parole officers have a lot more information, have a lot more time to decide the issues, and we're giving them immunity. And here on the other hand, you know, we're looking at a situation where someone has a few split seconds to make a decision, and you're saying, don't do it. And I guess I just have a concern.
Okay, Representative Collins, let me answer your first question, then your second. The first question is to, you know, how does a police officer make these kind of decisions, and how does a police officer decide whether somebody's really incapacitated, and, you know, is it negligence for the police officer to leave this person and run off to do his duty somewhere else? You know, that's, to me, exactly what 12 citizens of the community in Anchorage are put together to decide, you know, whether in a particular situation it's reasonable to uphold to say that a police officer acted negligently or not, right? The common question you face in all these bills, it seems to me, is whether you, as 60 legislators, you know, are going to say, under all circumstances, you know, we cannot envision a situation where this ever would be right to hold a police officer negligent, right? So we, as a legislative body, are going to say that a jury may never find, under any circumstances, that the police officer or the municipality should be held liable, or whether you are willing to let those decisions be made on a case-by-case basis by a jury who listens to all the facts of a particular instance and comes to a conclusion, right? I mean, you're passing judgment on factual situations that you don't know about. I mean, you're instilling a rule of law which will govern all factual disputes, right, between peace officers, municipalities, drunken people who are arrested, not arrested, one thing or another in the future. You're anticipating situations that you know nothing about, in all frankness. I mean, you are making decisions for juries, and you're not allowing 12 people to make these decisions by themselves. I don't know why. You let them do it in everything else. I mean, you allow liability to be determined by juries in every other type of circumstance. Why not here? I mean, what makes this situation any different than any other time you let juries resolve issues? I mean, they hear the facts. The same arguments you just made to me are made to them. You know, how can a peace officer, how could he have possibly known that this person was drunk? It wasn't fair to hold him liable for this. There was a call down the street he had to run to. It wasn't reasonable to ask him to pick this person up, right? That's the kind of issues juries decide every day. Why not let them decide it? I mean, what's wrong with it?
Representative Collins?
I guess the problem that I have is those decisions are made in hindsight, and hindsight is always different than what is happening at the time.
You're making them in foresight.
Well, I think I'm just giving, I think with this legislation, you're just giving the officer, in a sense, an even break. And I think that there's nothing that says that if an officer were held to be immune from any liability, and there was evidence that came up that showed he being grossly negligent or whatever, that someone couldn't break through that and get to that police officer.
Okay. The second question you have on the bill is on the probation. You know, as I said, municipalities don't have a problem with this. The state does have a problem with that. I mean, the state just got socked for a $5 million settlement for a person that was released on parole under horrible circumstances. I mean, I wasn't there, but I talked to the people in the case. And he went out to Point Hope, and he murdered three people, I think. And basically went out and sexually abused somebody and murdered some other people, and the state settled the case. And now they basically want to immunize the decisions of the parole board because they don't want that to happen again.
Where's that bill now?
I wasn't aware of it.
I didn't know.
Representative Collins
is in the Senate. Oh, it's in the Senate. Okay, that's what I had.
That's one of parole and judiciary in the Senate.
Yeah, okay. Now, I wanted to go back to something that kind of got skipped over here. Representative Collins, made the argument here that if there was gross negligence on the part of an officer, that you could pierce through this protecting statute and get to that. But as I'm reading the bill, unless there's a committee substitute I'm not aware of, you still couldn't do it because it says you shall bring no action.
That's right. The bill as written is bars it completely, right? And then the Senate bill eventually was amended to allow suits for intentional misconduct.
Wait a second. The Senate bill.
Senate Bill 66.
Well, there's a bill over there right now. Right. That they, in their committee process, they've amended it to include intentional torts now or intentional misconduct.
That's right. They have amended. The committee substitute of the Senate has intentional misconduct is accepted. All right.
Now, we've got a position paper here from the Department of Health and Social Services says they would like to see it be on a gross negligence standard. Does it go from ordinary negligence to gross negligence?
No, I'm saying this is, again, as I say, I don't know why gross negligence, you know, should be in this category and ordinary negligence should be for any other police function. I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand why you want to make a distinction in this law, you know, for police saying that when police are negligent, they can't be held liable. But in all other circumstances where police act that are negligent, they may be held liable. But in this circumstances, they have to be grossly negligent or intentional harm or one thing or another. Why? What is the distinction? If you want to do it for all policemen, you know, you just want to say any time a policeman is negligent, they can't be held responsible. I mean, I think that would be bad public policy, but nonetheless, that at least would be logically consistent. I don't understand what's different with this. This is a negligence in enforcing a law.
Well, I want to give it a couple of things here for the committee. We go to this, what we got you here. There's a couple ways of adjusting standards of liability, right? You can have presumptions, or you can have higher standards of negligence. This bill is a prohibition. It's a bar, the way it's written now. The Senate is working on they've gone to intentional negligence or intentional act. There's a position paper here saying go to gross, which is below, is a lower standard than intentional. You could create a rebuttable presumption that it wasn't negligence, and then there would be somewhat an extra burden, I guess, on the plaintiff, but they've got the burden already, don't they? I guess I'm just trying to lay out the options in this area. If you want to look at adjusting liabilities, all the different things, and so see if the committee understands those different standards.
I understand. Yeah, I don't want to sound more extreme than I am, Representative Collins, because you know I understand the difficulty policemen have in what they do, and you know I've been on both sides. I've prosecuted, I've defended, I've done the whole thing. But you know juries are aware of that. I mean, just as you are and as I am. You know, the policemen have to make split-second decisions under difficult circumstances and one thing or another. And that's all factored into jury decisions. So, I mean, my concern is that you take the authority away from the 12 people who hear the facts to make the decision. You know, that's all.
Who is this fun?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if you are familiar with the case of Francis Trapper as well, and if we should bring that into this conversation. You're not familiar with that case? I think that case and this case are linked together in the minds of police officers really strongly. And I've talked with a number of them about this. They really feel like everything they do is being second-guessed, and they are in the position of having to defend themselves with 12 people judging them, when in fact they see themselves as the carriers of the law. And I think they feel between a rock and a hard spot, and I'm sympathetic to their position, although not necessarily to the broad stroke of municipalities, agents, employees of the state, et cetera, because I think they're in a unique position.
I'm not sure. Was there a limited question
on that? Is that the one, the case where the guy died?
Yes.
Francis Trader.
Right, Trader, not Trapper. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me try again here. There's something else that's a possibility here. Mr. Gross? This bill not only protects the liability of the individual acting agent, a police officer, but it also protects liability from of state, municipality, et cetera, et cetera. I think if the concerns of the committee were more towards the police officers themselves, I think there could be some deference made to the individual officers here, put them on a separate standard than the state itself, so that you could still reach the state, which would be directing the officers and giving them orders, and still afford some individual additional protection for the individual police officers.
It's another possibility that hasn't been discussed here. Well, this is an obligation put on the municipal, this is off the top of my head, frankly. This is an obligation imposed upon municipal officers and municipal governments by state statute, okay, to take alcoholics or alcohol-inebriated people into custody, right? And the state has never very, done much for this program other than just tell the police officers to go do it. Why not make the state liable for it and exempt the municipalities? I mean, if it's the state that's requiring the municipal governments to do this, and the state, I mean, I'm only concerned about the fact that if somebody's injured by somebody else's negligence, they ought to be able to have recovery for their injuries. But since it is a state-imposed obligation,
and I don't know,
something to think about.
And most of the arguments I've heard about this that made sense to me ran to the individual officers and the difficulties they were making with their discretion. If there was a different standard for the officers and didn't exempt the state or the acting government from liability, because the government supposedly is directing its officers to adopting the policy they're following, that might be another alternative we could explore also. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
It's certainly possible.
Representative Collins.
I think I am not an attorney, and I can't really think of